The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 10th of September, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted local news talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Also have all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. You can check those out on your own time. They're there 24/7. The live line number 790-2040. Let's get rolling. The city of Tucson voters will be deciding in November the fate of an initiative that's commonly known as the Sanctuary City Measure. However, that is not the official name of this initiative. It's called the Tucson Families Free and Together Initiative. Zyra Livier, or Livier, is with us. She's the campaign manager of the initiative. Zyra, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Bill.
Well, first of all, what does this have to do with sanctuary cities? Because people refer to this as sanctuary cities, and some people think we're already a sanctuary city. So what's the connection?
Right. So the important thing to note about the term sanctuary and sanctuary city, quote unquote, is the definition really changes depending on who you are and where you are. And that definition will fluctuate depending on the administration that we have. We are coined the Sanctuary City Initiative, and we've... for a few reasons, but it's very unique. It's unlike any other sanctuary city policy in the nation for several reasons. Number one, this is the very first sanctuary city initiative ever put on the ballot by citizens, right? So it's a citizen-led initiative, which is protected by the Arizona Constitution. The founders had the great idea to give Arizonans the ability to pass their own measures if and when their elected officials failed them.
And other cities that do have sanctuary city measures in California, those were put on, those became thus through a governmental body.
That's correct. Is that what I'm hearing? It came from the top down.
That's what I'm hearing you say. And this one is the first one that is grassroots, citizen-driven.
That's absolutely right. Second point why this is so different, because we are in SB 1070 territory. We are in Arizona where xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and racist policies have been in place long, long before this administration took power. So we actually had to write this initiative to go around the edges of policies like SB 1070, which no other state has. So that makes it very unique. Another unique point of it is that if you actually read the policy, I always say that calling it a sanctuary kind of sells it short because it's so much more than that. What we did is we looked at issues that are incredibly important to the population of Tucson. In particular, we have three issues. Poverty, which is just unwavering in Tucson. We have criminal justice, a lot of people being charged constantly, especially poor people, especially women of color who are themselves victims of either domestic violence or sexual assault. And of course, three, because immigration, because we are 60 miles from the border, because you can't touch a wall that wasn't in part built by someone else undocumented or go to a place without coming into contact with undocumented people and their family members. So we wrote a bill that isn't just about collaboration between Border Patrol and ICE and our Tucson Police Department. We also wrote a bill that has protections for victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. We have a bill that expedites the process of U visas, which are an incentive for undocumented people to report crimes and talk to the police. We have protections in there against pretextual stops for everyone, in particular window tinting. If you go and you speak to any public defender, they're going to tell you that a lot of their poor and working class defendants end up with some kind of weed charge that ruins their life because of a pretextual stop. We're talking about window tinting.
Too dark.
Yeah, tinting. Things like that. You know, it's a pretextual stop, meaning they stop you and then search you for something else.
Okay, well, aren't those protections already built in right now?
They're absolutely not. No. And in particular, the SB 1070 protections. SB 1070 is law. That means TPD follows it. But right now, the immigrant quote-unquote immigrant-friendly general orders that are in place that you hear constantly from the Chief Magnus and the elected officials.
Chief Magnus very much against this measure.
That say that 60% of what we have in our policies already in place, it is absolutely a lie. When you look at the immigrant-friendly general orders, what they allow is, yeah, of course, no racial profiling, but you have race proxies, right? Things like mode of dress, your ability to speak English, and my all-time favorite, how many people are in the truck with you, right? How many Mexicans can you fit in this truck? To then use to maybe make the determination of whether you might be undocumented or not. We absolutely disallow parts of the immigrant-friendly general orders, which some people might even tell you are unconstitutional themselves. And we put in roadblocks so that if a person is stopped, immigration enforcement, civil immigration enforcement is completely off of the table. And not just stop, but if you are an undocumented woman who's been abused at home and you need help and you call Tucson Police Department, you will have more reassurances that neither you nor your children nor maybe your abuser will be would be deported or would be then handed over to Border Patrol.
All right. In the 5 minutes remaining, I want your answers very tight here, because I'm going to throw some stuff at you here. What you, I'm sure, would say are misconceptions about this. Number one, no elected official right now. Well, there are a couple. Andres Cano, state rep, but very few are in favor of it. Your simple answer to that is why? Why are they not in favor of it?
Fear.
Okay.
Fear.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Next one. All the money that this, if this passes, we're talking, I don't know what the figure is, I've heard
100 million.
Okay,
a gazillion.
Let's, for the sake of conversation, let's call it tens of millions of dollars will be lost in revenue sharing. What do you say to that?
I'm glad you asked that question, because it gets said repeatedly without ever being expanded on. We will not lose funding if we pass this. What will happen is that the state legislature has threatened to sue us, right? The most racist of them all have said they'll sue us under what? SB 1487, right? Which says if a city government passes a policy that breaks law, they can then take us to court and then perhaps take our money from us. Number one, we contend we do not break law. Read our initiative. Read it carefully.
Has it been vetted by attorneys?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It was written by attorneys.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah. And one, we do not break law. Number two is 1487 is completely mum on citizen-led initiatives. And if there's something that the state legislature has not been able to touch in all of the years of their hyper-preemption bills, is state-protected citizen initiatives. It is so gray that there's actually a doubt that they could even challenge us, because the Constitution fully protects this kind of proposition. So, you know, don't take their word for it. They would have to fight us. We contend that we do not break law. And also, we also believe that in the end, we will be just fine, because we are a citizen-led initiative.
Okay, another one for you. The chief of police says we would not be able to communicate his department with other, say, federal law enforcement if this were to pass. What is your answer?
Also, another absolute untruth. What he refers to is an MOU section in our initiative. Currently, Border Patrol and ICE are allowed to do routine traffic stops. We saw that just last week in a post that went viral. They are not allowed to do this in most of the country. Just FYI, they can do this in Arizona because of one vague random law. So in our MOU section, what we ask is...
MOU being...
A memorandum of understanding.
Thank you.
In our policy, ask that federal agencies sign an MOU that says when we collaborate and if we collaborate, we will not do routine traffic enforcement for the sake of civil immigration matters. Only two agencies do that. Not the FBI, not the tobacco and firearms. It's ICE and Border Patrol. And the reason why we had to write it as such a generality is because the law it's a generality, so we had to include everything. But we are 100% sure MOUs are a routine part of the process in interagency collaboration, and we do not believe that ICE and Border Patrol or the FBI or any other federal agency are going to say no to signing this memorandum.
So bottom line, a legal challenge you think you would hold up in your favor?
We're absolutely confident of that bill.
And there was this legal challenge by our local Republican Party.
That's right. And they lost on every part of it. And they lost so badly that they won't even appeal it.
All right. Where can people find out more?
They can visit our website, familiesfreeandtogether.org, or at peoplesdefenseinitiative.org.
You have a good feeling that this is going to pass?
You know, we're knocking on doors every single day, Bill, and the overwhelming response is positive. Even when people don't quite understand what sanctuary is, when you explain to them what's on the bill, what it means, people from all walks of life are on board. It makes sense to them that we should pass this and that this is the right thing to do for Tucson.
Zyra, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by one of our great sponsors over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where the temperature, I would guess right now, is probably in the mid-80s over there, because that portion of the beautiful land of enchantment is a higher elevation. It's about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, so that means, well, it's going to be cooler, and that's going to be mid-80s during the day, down into the upper 60s at night. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. The complete list there of some great places to stay and all sorts of ideas for kind of hanging out, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Check it out, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's coming up on 12:16. It's Buckmaster on 10:30. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Shelley, what the heck is going on with the economy? The economy is slowing, but the American economy has lots of cash. Cash parked on the sidelines or what?
Well, a lot of it is parked on the sidelines. A lot of it is being used to repurchase company stock and to retire debt. What we're seeing, Bill, is kind of an unusual circumstance where we've been on a very moderate recovery from the Great Recession. And when I say a moderate recovery, it's, you know, been on average 2 to 3% a growth in GDP. We have very low unemployment. You can say that this is kind of the best of all worlds because we have low unemployment. We're actually now seeing some real gains in wages. It ought to be really great. The problem is that, number one, administration in Washington keeps on putting roadblocks in the way of growth, but the measures of the real health of an economy looking forward are showing signs of strain. And you put your finger on it exactly when you talk about the economy being awash in cash. If companies have cash and they're not investing in their own growth, there's a reason for that. It's because their own algorithms that they use to determine how to calculate a hurdle rate for the next plant or the next machine or the next whatever they need to grow their business, they're not, when they run the models, they're not exceeding those hurdle rates. And so their own corporate policy tells them they shouldn't be investing. Now, one of the biggest variables that they look at is demand for their product. And that's the piece that has me worried and has, well, economists all over the world worried, that what we're not seeing is increased demand. Now, in our economy here in the States, 70% of our economy is consumer-driven. In economies like China, they're looking to build a middle class by increasing demand for products, paying people more and building a firm middle class. And that has slowed down. We see similar slowness in European economies. So when you're the top management team in XYZ widget company and somebody says, well, we've got this proposal to build this new plant in wherever, and they say, well, what are the econometrics look like? Well, you know, we're not going to get this paid back probably for 15 to 18 years, and our guideline is 6.
I bet that won't go very far.
And that doesn't go very far. And so that's the problem in the economy right now, and we're seeing it in certain sectors where even though the economy continues to expand, the sectors are actually contracting. And one of the foremost sectors in the economy is the manufacturing sector. And that's actually now seeing a quarter of contraction. So that's an alarming signal. We also see that the bond market is signaling distress over the future of the economy with these periodic drops in the bond curve that signal a slowdown or even a recessionary tendency.
Why are we buying less stuff, Shelley Fishman?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, you reach a saturation point. There's only so many widgets you can buy. And we've been on a tear for the past, 10 years. Consumers have really been buying stuff. We've had low unemployment now since, 2011. And so there's a limit to what people are willing to invest in. And now we're seeing the prices go up in the kinds of things that people need to buy a lot of, like school, back to school stuff. Because of tariffs, And because of just the way companies are pricing their goods, we're seeing, for instance, a decrease in the price of food, but an increase in the price of T-shirts. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird. Inflation is still low at around 2%. The Fed Open Market Committee meets next week. We're actually expecting that they will cut interest rates, maybe a quarter of a percent. But if the economy is really awash in cash, lowering interest rates doesn't do anything. It's just more cash.
Paul has called us. Shelley, I don't know if you can answer this question, but we'll try. Here we go. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, thank you. Yeah. Coming back from New York last week, at a few meetings, my partners wanted to remind everybody that Obama had told us many times that America's best days are behind us and that all these jobs that have gone overseas are not coming back. And I was wondering why our stock salesmen kind of ignore that.
Well, President Obama has said a lot of things. I don't recall him saying that our best days are behind us. He's a pretty optimistic guy, but he would. Your observation that the manufacturing past that built the economy of this country through the 20th century has changed irrevocably, and I have no argument that that has happened. The question is, can we get it to go backward? And I don't think we can, Paul. I think that we have to accept the fact that this world economy is now so integrated and so dependent upon the natural, I'm trying to remember my Echo 101 days, where certain countries do things better than other countries as they move through economic progress. And so things like manufacturing T-shirts just are better done and more efficiently done elsewhere. As we cut the costs of transportation, importing that stuff becomes a really economic thing to do. So what we have to do as an economy is keep on finding ways to move into the next best, greatest thing. Some of those things like, for instance, solar panels and clean energy, that seems to be where one segment of progress can be found. Another is in, the information revolution that has now moved us to artificial intelligence and Generation 5 technology in wireless and cellular technology. Those are the things that we do very, very well. The other thing we do very, very well is service. As a service sector, our people are without doubt, among the best in the world. So what we need to be doing is educating our workforce. I heard just on the radio coming in to the studio today, we now have 7 million open jobs that are currently unfilled in this country. And many of those jobs cannot be filled because we don't have the skilled labor to do it. So what we have to do is not figure out how to go back to a coal technology or how to go back to, manufacturing, horse harnesses and buggy whips. Yeah. We have to figure out how to train our people to be skilled in what is needed going forward. And that's the kind of direction and strategic direction that'll keep this economy growing. Right now, the Chinese, and it's a controlled economy, so they can kind of do some of the things they want to do. They have stated that they want to dominate some of this stuff. And, gosh darn it, we should not let them do that because we're better at it than they are.
You're talking about jobs unfilled. I read today that Amazon has 30,000 openings. And, of course, those are, most of them are probably not what you would consider skilled jobs, but they are jobs, and there are a lot of people that they're looking for to fill them.
Well, Amazon has kind of broken the mold. I mean, they have taken what was a dying kind of industry, namely retail.
Yeah.
And they
reinvented
it. We can reinvent that, and we can make it better, a better experience for our customers. So it's a combination of service, which we do very, very well, and upgrading the technology that gets the you know, gets the product into the customer's hands in a satisfying way. You know, you walk into a store, you walk out with a product, you feel good about it.
Yep.
Now with Amazon, you're going to get it the next day. In some cases, the same day. So, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of innovation. Does it create imbalances and, you know, do some people go out of business? But yeah, Paul, I'm glad you asked the question because we have to look forward, not backward.
All right, that's Shelley Fishman, and Shelley will be with us next Tuesday, same time. Well, let's hear from CBS News right now.
CBS News Update. President Trump has given his national security advisor his walking papers. John Bolton departs after numerous disagreements with the president on things like North Korea, Iran, and the Taliban. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says Bolton is a foreign policy hawk.
The personal relationship between the president and national security advisor is important. The view that there's some public discussions about Bolton being on the other side of meeting with the Taliban probably was a bridge too far.
More from correspondent Paula Reed.
The president has preferred to try to negotiate, try to engage these adversaries, where historically Ambassador Bolton has preferred a more aggressive, militarized approach to adversarial international relationships. So I think folks were surprised when he was brought on. The fact that they just did not agree on many foreign policy issues suggests that ultimately the president's approach will win out.
Now, the president says he expects to name a new security advisor next week. CBS News Update. I'm Jim Chenevy.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show, presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, the 13-acre site, now home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, much of it handmade. Come by and tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. The website is greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now Keith Rosenblum. Keith is one of two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. We're delighted to have him with us. He's a longtime veteran reporter, not only for the Arizona Republic, but the Arizona Daily Star, covering Mexico. And he's with us on the live line. Keith, how are you?
Bill, it continues to be a miracle that you allow me to be on after all these years. That's the part that I marvel at.
Hey, talk about bad timing for the Mexican foreign secretary visiting the White House today as Mr. Bolton is given his walking papers. Bolton, the defense secretary, but the national defense consular, whatever it is. But anyway, this was supposed to be the day Mexico was going to prove their point at the White House that it's reduced the migrant flow and that should no longer be a target of tariffs. Not good timing, is it?
Well, you know, I didn't think that I would be talking one day about Mexico as a pillar of stability and the U.S. as a shaky democracy. But it's funny how times juxtapose circumstances. And so I've been listening. I probably should be admitted to a psychiatric institution one of these days soon, because I am now addicted to the morning press conference of President López Obrador. So I knew what you're discussing right now about the numbers at each of the ports of entry and what the Guardia Nacional, called their National Guard police force, is doing. I was aware of several days ago because they had Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard talk about just that. And it is really remarkable what Mexico has done. And yes, today might have been the Mexicans' day to shine, but I don't think you need to worry about pomp or about the ceremonial aspect. Mexico has kept its word and has done remarkable things. And again, to any of your listeners and to you as well, anybody who has Facebook or goes online to YouTube, I urge you to put in your search bar, and I'll repeat it, Noticiero en Redes, N-O-T-I-C-I-E-R-O, Noticiero, N-E-N, and Redes, R-E-D-E-S. It is the news broadcast on social networking, and every day, 5 days a week, there's President López Obrador standing himself, delivering basically a lesson in democracy and transparency in government to the national and regional press corps from Palacio Nacional, from the National Palace in Mexico City, and not only doing it himself with a mastery of where he's taking the country, like it or not, I, for the most part, like it, but also he brings his show, and his show consists of his Minister of Environment, Foreign Relations, Communication and Transportation. And you hear for unvarnished anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours, sometimes a little bit more, and you hear him joust with the reporters, and you hear him go off on these remarkable soliloquies. It's a must-listen, and I just wish that there wasn't a language barrier, but you'll catch enough anyway, because the way López Obrador speaks, what he says over 2 hours could probably be condensed to an hour, hour and 15 minutes anyway. He has this really interesting pausing way of speaking. Noticiero en Redes, a must-listen to. It's a remarkable example for how government might be run. Some people think they see too much of them. I don't. I think that for Mexico as a country that has not provided info to its citizenry for a long time, and it has allowed the elite class to kind of monopolize information, to me it's refreshing and will serve as a model for future generations. This is a 65 or 67-year-old guy. I don't remember how old López Obrador is. He gets up there, and he doesn't sit down at all, Bill. He gets up and speaks to the reporters. A lot of the reporters have their own agenda, and so they'll get up and give their own little speech first. He probably endures them for too long, but in the end, he'll say, okay, if you've got that information, then I invite you to pass it on to my, whatever, to my defense secretary, to my head of the Guardia Nacional, to my economics minister. And the reporters sometimes actually walk up to the front and hand it off to an aide. it's really just a marvelous thing to watch. And it's every morning. If you don't catch it live, they retransmit it, and you can see it anyway archived at YouTube. So in the must-watch department, I can't tell you about Netflix or anything else in the U.S., but I can tell you, go watch Lopez Obrador 5 days a week.
So is reducing the flow of migrants arriving at the northern border of Mexico by 56% over the last 3 months, is that going to be enough to satisfy the Trump administration?
It sure is. It sure is, because it represents, to my knowledge of the topic, which is not great, but it's better than most people. It's a phenomenal reduction, and it comes from a two-pronged thing. It comes from both a remarkable effort at the southern border with Guatemala, because that's not an easy border to protect. If you thought our border was porous with the 2,000 miles with Mexico, I invite you to the Guatemala border to see how porous it is with waterways and jungle. So what Mexico has done there has been a remarkable strategic mission. And at the northern border, getting the Sonorans, the Baja Californians, the Tamaulipans, and all the others in the states to participate in this and to have shelters and to be cooperating with a program that allows people to stay in Mexico until their cases are heard in the U.S. It's a remarkable agility in government. We're talking about something that's been proposed and implemented in a matter of months. I mean, think about how long it takes bureaucracies to react to anything, and for Mexico to have achieved this in this amount of time is remarkable. I'm not sure that the best first world governments could have done something as quickly as Mexico did.
Keith Rosenblum with us. In the remaining couple of minutes, did you have an update on how that cruise has been selling? I think that cruise out of, is it out of Guaymas that begins?
No, Bill, it's out of Rocky Point.
Rocky Point.
They don't have a formal pier. It's the one that's an 11-day cruise starting on, what's the date? December, I'm blank.
It's coming up.
I talked to John Dennis, and all I know is that they're going to be, that it's a go, and that they're putting together their cruise schedule for 2020 and 21, and at least tentatively planning on again doing it from Rocky Point. It's certainly a give them credit for taking the gamble. And from what I had heard, it was well subscribed. I don't know the numbers. They don't, which I wouldn't either if it was my business. I wouldn't reveal what the percentage was. But evidently, it's doing well enough that it's on their drawing boards for the next cruise year, cruise season. And it'll be fascinating to see whether an 11-day cruise from a Mexican destination and staying in Mexico. Mind you, this is an entirely domestic cruise. There's no international component to it. So for 11 days, they're going to be taking people up and down the mainland and Baja and visiting these ports. It's fascinating. I would like to do it. My problem is I could do it for four or five days.
How many are they planning here initially?
Well, there are six that are being done by the cruise lines. I blank on their name. I should actually listen to my advertisements on 10:30 with more scrutiny. But there are six that the company is doing in this year, and then the next year is I'm not sure what the numbers are.
Okay,
I just don't know.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure catching up with you. Thank you, Keith.
It's my pleasure, Bill.
Keith Rosenblum with us talking about Mexico. He is kind of he is our contributor on Mexico and Buckmaster Show contributors. Got about 24 of them. We thank them regularly with us talking about their areas of expertise. Margaret Regan, longtime Tucson Weekly arts reporter, coming up next with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Showtime for our Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. There are still great seats available to see bluegrass legends Del McCoury and David Grisman in their Del and Dog concert tour. The show is Saturday, September the 14th. Ticket prices start at a very reasonable $29 each. Then on Friday, September the 20th, the Fox welcomes Aaron Neville and his duo, platinum-selling artists, and longtime pianist with him, Michael Goods. That's going to be a great concert. For more information, to view the full Fox Tucson Theater and to purchase tickets to see Del and Dog this Saturday, September the 14th, and Aaron Neville. What a great duo that is going to be, that concert, Friday, September the 20th. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Margaret Regan, the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, author of two prize-winning books on immigration, the most recent, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. This has been a highly acclaimed book. Actually, both of her books, The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands, that came out in 2010, did very well. So both books, critically acclaimed, as they say. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. The book, Detained and Deported, you've been speaking all over the country on this one, and you're going to be right here in Tucson this Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. It's very nice. Our Family Services, which works with families in need, I guess, and they have a book club, interestingly, at their office, and they all have read my book, Detained and Deported, and on Thursday, I'm going to be speaking about the book, but it's open not just to the book club members, but open to anybody in Tucson who's interested in the topic of immigration.
And that is located, I believe, I looked up the address, 3830 East Bellevue.
Right. Yeah, it's right near Speedway in Dodge.
Okay, and it's open to the public, gets underway at 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
Arts reports. You've got an art story that you wrote for the Tucson Weekly this Thursday.
Yeah, okay. This is a fun one, Bill. It's called Glow, a Nighttime Art Experience. It's a little hard to describe, but this is something that's been going on for 15 years at the Triangle L Ranch up in Oracle, and it's run by the ranch owner and artist Sharon Holmbach, and once a year, for four nights during the year, near the times of the full moon, Sharon and company make, you know, what I've called it, the luminous art wonderland. They put up sculptures all through the pass on the ranch. The ranch has 50 acres, 10 acres divided to the arts. So you go up there, you're driving under the full moon, which is always beautiful. You get to Oracle, and you can walk through all these paths, and the sculptures are lit up by lights that they bring in, too, but then also by the light of the moon. And bands play, there's food, people wear costumes, there are contests around the costumes. It's really a lovely tradition.
And I don't know if they call the September full moon a harvest moon, but it's getting close. Usually October's the harvest moon, but it should be fun.
Yeah. And the full moon is coming up this weekend. So I think the opening night is this Saturday, and it's the night before the full moon, so it will be very, very bright.
A couple of years ago, I saw that Scottish group, the Old Blind Dogs, and that is one of the more memorable concerts I attended, and I guess they're coming back, right, Saturday night?
Yeah, they're coming Saturday night to the Burger. I've got a great quote in my story that I wrote about them from a paper in Montreal. They said, they're a Scots neo-traditional supergroup with a bracingly modern musical attack. So they're quite lively. I mean, they really are doing traditional Scottish music. And as you know, I'm a big fan of all the different forms of Celtic music. A lot of the same instruments that you're going to see in Irish music, except that they do a lot of piping. But there are, you know, there are old songs. I had the opportunity to talk via email with Aaron Jones from the band. He was in Aberdeen, Scotland, which was fun to hear about. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know, they do these very, very old songs from the, you know, traditional songs. Nobody knows who wrote them. But wonderful, beautiful ballads and, you know, fast things too. But a lot of people today are composing songs in that tradition, but they're modern. He says, you know, for the whole art form to survive, you really have to do that. You know, you have to do both. So they're a really wonderful band, and they're so popular in Tucson that it's only been a year and a half since the last time they were here. And, you know, that's unusual to have a band come back again so soon.
You know, I would guess they've been in Tucson maybe 12, no, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 times. I don't know. Maybe that's too many. Maybe, okay, I'll rephrase that. How about, maybe about a dozen times.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're really one of the most popular ones. Interestingly, for a few years, their lead guy, Johnny Hardy, he's the only one still left. They were founded in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
He got himself into some kind of trouble with ICE and immigration.
Oh, boy.
Something about, I think it was related to not having the appropriate visa one time, and they banned him from the U.S. for 5 years. So Don Guest, who runs these Celtic concerts in Tucson, was very upset the last time they were coming. You know, he couldn't come, and they had to get a replacement person. And he's one of the draws for the band because he's a marvelous fiddler, and he has a singing voice, and he's got that gift of gab that those Celtic musicians often do. It makes the concert a lot of fun. So he's going to be here, and we'll see him, you know, the guy that really, you know, gets a lot of attention. So that's nice.
And that's over at Burger, and that's on Speedway Saturday night. That's still a really nice little venue, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, I'm not tall the way you are. And, gosh, I have so much trouble in so many venues around town, like Centennial Hall. You know, I love to go to their shows, but, gosh, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But Burger is wonderful because the rows of seats are very stepped, and I can see above anybody's head there because I'm so much higher. It's like the way the movie theaters are now, everybody can see, and that's such a gift. And it's a small enough thing that even if you're in the back of the hall, or I should be up at the top of the hall, you're still pretty close to the stage, and you can see everything and hear everything.
Let's try to work in one more. Etherton Gallery. Terry Etherton has staged some great shows over. He's had a kind of a banner year, hasn't he?
Yeah, they just, you know, they make new shows faster than I can get to them sometimes. Yeah, over the summer they had Jack Dikinga, and I went to, Jack came to the gallery 2 weekends ago and gave a whole talk about how he makes his photos, and right now he's interested in owl photos. He fell in love with owls, so he's deviating a little bit from his landscapes, but he has the most wonderful pictures of owls up close. Might even become a book, he said.
Wow.
So we've seen a lot of photography lately at Etherton, and so this new show opening up on Saturday night with a reception is going to be paintings and prints. It's called Bright, and you should see the pictures, you know, because they're all beautifully colored. Gail Marcus Orlin, who's a, you know, beloved local painter who does amazingly colorful canvases, she says this time her paintings are inspired by dance and movement.
Mm.
So it'll be exciting to see those. Andy Burgess showing his prints of his paintings of mid-century modern houses, which have gotten a lot of attention. And then finally, Michael Chittuck has done paintings of street scenes in New Orleans.
That should be a good show. And that reception is Saturday evening, 7 to 10. It is free.
Yes.
And again, Etherton has really hit some home runs, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, they've been named in the best of Tucson as having the most fun art openings.
Most fun. Well,
so yeah. It's definitely worth stepping down there on Saturday night.
Kind of a who's who, isn't it, when folks get together at Etherton.
Absolutely.
All right, Margaret, I've got about a minute to go. And again, why don't you do a quick plug for folks who would like to meet you in person this Thursday afternoon at 4.
Yeah. For the, Our Family.
Our Family Services.
Yeah, I mean, they contacted me out of the blue, and I felt so honored that they felt that my book would be good for their book club. I'm thinking in part because as part of a social service agency, and it's called Our Family, they see a lot of the impacts of immigration law on local families. You know, there are many families that are, you know, half documented, half undocumented.
Right.
Obviously, it provides a lot of trouble and people living in fear. So I'm guessing that's why they selected my book. So it should be really interesting for me to talk with these people because they'll be so knowledgeable about all these issues.
All right, Margaret Regan, we'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Margaret Regan giving us the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Support your crown jewel of downtown Tucson by attending the Chasing Rainbows Gala. That's featuring Leanne Rimes on Sunday, October the 20th. To view the full schedule of events, purchase tickets to see Dell and Dog this Saturday, September the 14th. And, of course, Aaron Neville and that duo coming up September the 20th at Fox. So on Chasing Rainbows in that gala featuring Leanne Rimes on October the 20th. That's going to be a great show. Visit FoxTucsonTheater.com. Well, actually, it's just visit FoxTucson.com. But I'm sure if you put Fox Tucson Theater, you'll get there as well. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Couch and the whole team here at Bustos Media in Tucson, hope you have a great day. We've got Dave Ramsey, who's on for 3 hours from 1 to 4 now on our new schedule here on 1030 The Voice. Have a great afternoon.